17 months, and she's just fabulous. And then I have two more on the way. So I'm really looking forward to that as that begins to happen. But isn't God good? That was like three of you that said he was good. The rest of you aren't really sure. There's like a note thing that you were given when you came in, and let me explain this to you. There are fill in the blanks, and that means you get to do that, okay? And the answers will be on the screen as we go, and so I want to encourage you with that. Then the rest of this, the front panel, is the fill in the blank to help you, and then scriptures to let you know that you can look them up later and even go through them. But then the rest of it's homework for you throughout the rest of your week, so you can take some time to kind of get to know the message and get to know God even more. So that's it. Let's stand for a minute. Let's pray. And we'll jump right in. Is that okay? Awesome. God, we need your help because we're just these crazy human beings who tend to struggle day to day and then at times muck things up really bad. And so we need you. Not just because of that, but because you created us. You formed us in our mother's womb. You know everything about us. You have a plan and a purpose for us. And so, God, we come to you tonight. We ask that you would speak to us, that you'd help us grow in you. God, I pray that if there's anyone here that has not developed a relationship with you, has not got to know you, that tonight would be a new beginning in that journey for you and them. And then you would come and you would meet us. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to speak to us, to speak into our heart and lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about bugging God. You're pestering him, actually bugging him. At some point, everybody faces challenges in life, and sometimes we face a challenge that's so bigger than us that we have to cry out for help. Often there's times where we don't understand what's going on around us and we can't figure out what's happening and it's a struggle. But everybody in life, whether you're an atheist, whether you're an agnostic, whether you're a Christian, whether you just have not committed one way or another and you have no clue, all of us hit places in our life where we don't understand. I got called a few weeks ago, well, in fact, last week, to go to do a funeral. And there's a lot of people hoping that this guy at the right time cried out. He's riding his motorcycle over an overpass, and as he's coming over the overpass, he didn't see a truck that's pulled out, a semi that's pulled out over here. As he's flying over the overpass, and the semi's pulling out over here, as he comes across and he begins to see it, it's too late. Slams on the brake on his Harley Davidson and 25-foot skid marks from his motorcycle. As the truck's pulling out, he hits the gas tank. The bike slides sideways. He slides underneath. As the truck is still pulling out, it runs over him and crushes him and kills him right then instantly. There's a lot of people that are hoping that somewhere between the time that he saw the truck and slammed on the brakes, that maybe he cried out and said, "Oh God, I need you." But I do know this, as I went to go do a funeral in that community for this man, over 600 people showed up for his remembering celebration service. And a lot of them said, "I realize how fragile life is. I need God." See, all of us face situations where we cry out at one point or another. There's a mom and dad whose living room that I sat in that cried out to say, "God, I don't understand. I'm perplexed. He's 40. He's got kids. Here's where we're at. God, I don't understand. I need your help in this." There's a daughter who's 16, another son and a daughter who's graduating this year who are crying out and saying, "He's gone. I'm short a dad now. What do I do?" And as I spent time with this young lady, she said to me, "If this wouldn't have happened, I never would have probably cried out to God. I was too busy with all the other things in my life." See, all of us hit these situations, and in the midst of those situations, you can do one or two things. You can hold a hand out to God that says, "God, I need you," or you can hold a hand towards him to shove him away. But all of us hit situations in life that are bigger than us, where they make us struggle. You know what? Jesus would often go off to pray. And sometimes even when we would pray, we wonder, are my prayers being answered? Are they even being heard? Are they banging off the ceiling? What's going on with them? Am I using the right words? Am I using the right technique? Am I doing it the right way? Is this really working? As Jesus would go off to pray, his disciples got up the courage one time, his followers, to say, hey, and this was his inner circle, the people that hung out with him. They got up the courage to say, hey, would you teach us how to pray? We want to know what you're doing. John the Baptist, his followers were taught how to pray. Would you teach us? So Jesus, in about 13 short verses, gave them an answer and taught them how to pray. What's funny is today, you can go down and you can go through Amazon or through, you know, Kindle and all those different places, and you can pull up books, or you can go to a Christian bookstore and look for a book. You can find chapter after chapter on prayer. Jesus nailed it in 13 verses. I think that's kind of cool. So as they got the courage to say, hey, how do I pray? Jesus stopped and said, let me give you an idea how. So that's where we're going to go. We're going to look at that, those 13 verses. And the passage is Luke chapter 11, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you have your Bibles, pull them out. If you don't, you can pull up an app on your smartphone called YouVersion. And through that app, you can pull it up and find a Bible and look at the verses. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, if you hit the maps, you went way too far. So look for the dude's names, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're going to go to Luke chapter 11. And if you need to use the front of the Bible, if you got a paper Bible, to find that, go ahead. And if you don't have a Bible, you don't even have a smartphone, and they got it on, I don't know if they're going to have it on a screen, but if you don't have it, share with somebody. And if they won't share, then you know what? They can have your Bible, or they could have your phone if they don't share. You just take it, okay? But let's go to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through, no, don't really take their phone, okay? Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. It says this: one day, he was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said, Master, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. So he said in verse 2, and I'm reading out of the Message translation, so if it seems kind of weird, that's what I'm reading out of. It's more colorful. I like the way it lays out there. So he said, when you pray, say. Now we're going to come back to the word say, because it says, when you pray, say. And so we want to remember that. He says, say, Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and with others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. I love the way it says that. Because you know what? Let's be honest here. Most of us really don't have a problem with the devil. Who mucks everything up is we do a good enough job on our own without the devil, right? So I like the way he says it. Keep us safe from ourselves, and the devil. And then he goes on down and he says this in verse 5. He says, then he said, and I like how Jesus told stories. So he goes on and he begins to tell a story. Then he said, imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. An old friend traveling just showed up. I don't have a thing on hand. The friend answers from his bed. This sounds like me. The friend answers from his bed, don't bother me. The door's locked. My kids are in bed. They're down for the night. I can't get up and give you anything. Goes on, he says, but let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground, check this, if you stand your ground knocking and waking all the neighbors, bugging the daylights out of them, throwing a fit, making a scene in the neighborhood, if you'll bug the daylights, I added those last few phrases, he'll finally get up and get you whatever you need. Here's a few things you need to know about parables, these stories that Jesus would tell. First of all, late at night there was probably more like 2 or 3 in the morning for us, because they would go to bed early. Remember, they didn't have lights and electricity and all that kind of stuff back then. So they went to bed pretty much when the sun went down, and then they got up when the sun came up. So late at night was really late. Now, some of us are thinking this is kind of a stupid story, because basically this dude had somebody come visit him late in the night, realized he didn't have any food, went over to a neighbor, bugged the neighbor for food. Why didn't he just go to 7-Eleven? They're open 24 hours a day. Get some bread, come back, slap a sandwich together, give it to the guy, and move on. Remember, they didn't have Walmart that was open or 7-Eleven that was open 24 hours a day. So here he is with no food, and somebody came to visit. Now you're going, what's the big deal? No food. You see, he's here. They'll get over it. Eat in the morning when they can go to the... No, it's not like that. Because in Jewish customs, when somebody showed up to your house, if you didn't have food to give them, you did a boo-boo big time. You blew it. You just weren't with it. It's kind of like throwing a party for junior hires and not having enough food. Why would you? You'd get hung if you threw a party for junior hires and 60 of them show up and you got two burritos. What are you thinking? You smoking crack? What's going on here? No, junior hires, you have lots of food, plenty of food, more food than you'd ever need. Because why? They'll inhale it, those little buggers. Well, that's like then, you know? If you don't have food when family or somebody came to your house, it was a faux pas big time. So all of a sudden, this guy shows up to his friend's house, no food. So he goes to the neighbor to get food. The neighbor, who's a friend, won't even get up. And the neighbor even says, get off my porch. I'm not getting up. But here's the story. If you bug him long enough, he will. Parables usually only deliver one thing and only one point. They don't go into a bunch of ideas and thoughts. They generally just, parables have one idea. And if it has more than one idea for the parable, they'll tell you up front. But this parable is this: bug the daylights out of the neighbor to get the food. Now, here's what he's doing. He's teaching us how to pray. So what he's saying is, if you want something from God, bring it to God. Keep bringing it to God. Stand on his porch. Keep knocking on his door. Keep banging on his door. Bring it to God. Keep going. And sooner or later, God will answer you. But don't stop till you have an answer. Today in our culture, we would say, hey, you know, if they show up and there's no food, get a life, move on. But that's not what happened here. And friendship didn't even make the answer for him. It wasn't till he bugged him. So here's the key to this whole thing. If you want your prayers answered, you need to be persistent with God. He kept knocking and knocking, even at the most inappropriate time, to say, I need your help. And as he did that, the guy got up and gave him what he needed. Now let's go on. And I like this because Jesus sometimes speaks to people like me that are a little thick-headed. Most of you got the point now. Be persistent with God if you want your prayers answered. Most of you got it. For me, I need another story. So Jesus provided another story. I think his disciples were a lot like me, slow and thick-headed. Because they didn't get it with the first story, so now he tells them the second story. So here's the second story. He goes on down in verse 9, and he says this. Here's what I'm saying. Obviously, we're looking at him like deer in the headlights. Go knock on the porch and keep bugging the guy? Really, Jesus? That's what we're supposed to? Jesus, come on. I can imagine Petey. What? Thomas. Really? Knock, keep. So now he says, here's what I'm saying. Now look what he says. Ask and you'll get it. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Verse 10, he goes on down. And I love the way the message says it again. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a fish, you don't scare him and give him a snake on his platter. If your little girl asks for an egg, you don't trick her and give her a spider. As bad as you are as a parent, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think that the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit to help you when you ask? I like how he says, don't bargain with God. I like how he says that. It's not a cat and mouse game. I got this one young man who lives in my home. I won't tell you which one he is, Jordan. I won't tell you it's Jordan. We're driving down the road. And as we're driving down the road, Jordan does this. And it's lunchtime, and he knows we're going to go out for lunch. But as we're driving down the road, Jordan goes like this, hey, there's Outback Restaurant. Hey, I like Outback Restaurant. I don't know if I've ever been to Outback Restaurant. It's kind of a nice place out here. I think Outback, it might be kind of good. And I just want to say, and I do every once in a while, I'm a good father. I say it really nicely in the name of Jesus, shut up. It's okay, because I said in the name of Jesus. And when I'm really anointed, I'll say, in the name of Jesus, shutteth thy moutheth now. I'll say it in the King James Version. Then it's really okay. We'll be driving down the road. Is that a new, and I think that's a new restaurant. I think that it's Hop Jacks. Is that Hop Jacks? I think it's Hop Jacks. I think that's a new restaurant. That would be fun to try. If you just want to try it, say it. Just say, I'd like to go to Hop Jacks, and then I can answer you. But if you want to play a count and mass game with me, and you want to kind of just throw something out there randomly, and I don't really know what you're doing, you ain't going to get nothing from me. So he goes on and says, don't bargain with God, be direct. God, I'm coming to you right now with this. And be direct. You don't even have to be cool, calm, or collected. There are times that you can do what I did the other morning at Walmart. God, I need your help. I don't know if she's a he or she, but she just stole my parking place, and I think I want to kill them. Smell the roses. Blow out the candle. Calming technique. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. And I have to calm myself and center myself and say, God, they obviously needed a spot more than me. Praise the Lord Jesus. Help me find another spot now. We just go to him. We say, here I am. I need your help. We take it to him. And you know what? Something as dumb as a parking spot, okay. But some of you are facing battles where the job really is torture. Finances are minuscule. Relationships are stretched further than ever. And you wonder sometimes, are my prayers hitting the ceiling and not being heard? But here's what we find. We find in this a present imperative, and the present imperative is kind of a command in the Greek. And the present imperative is this: ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. It's not a glance. God, could you just kind of, it's not a shrug of the shoulder, maybe if you want, God. It's not a quick look. But it's an over and an over and an over thing saying, God, I need your help here. I need your input. I need your grace. I need your love. I need you to be there for me. This mom, this last week, as she crawls into bed, God, would you bring comfort? Because nothing brings comfort to me in the knowledge that my son is gone and I buried him the other day. Oh, God, this hurts terribly. Could you bring comfort? This passage implies that we ask and keep asking, we seek and we knock. There's another scripture that I really like. If you turn, if you got your Bibles, and in your notes, it's Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And again, this is just to kind of help bring the point home. It's Luke chapter, 18, verses 1 through 8. Is everybody okay there? Everybody still with me? Okay, good. I'm glad you're still there. just dark enough that everybody could leave and I could be alone and everybody could be going, you know, that would really suck. Wouldn't that be funny if you did that one? No, don't do that, because now I'll get blamed. I'll get blamed. The funny thing is, no matter where you're at, if you're sitting in this room or if you're watching via the World Wide Web or TV or whatever it is, God is there to meet you today. And God wants you to know that he has your best interest at hand. But in Luke chapter 18, verses 1, it says this, and it's a story, another parable about a persistent old woman. Now, if you're old, don't be offended. I said old woman because she was an old woman. And she was kind of a persistent old woman. And I would hope that she didn't have a cane or a walker, because she was probably to the point that she was going to beat a king black and blue with the cane or walker. But this story is about a persistent widow who was kind of older and just was not going to give up. And this is what it says in verse 1. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them, listen to this, it was necessary for them to consistently and to never quit praying. Did you catch it? Consistently and to never quit praying. He said there was once a judge in a city who never gave God a thought and never cared even for his people. A widow in that city kept after him, "My rights are being violated, protect me," is what she said. He never gave her the time of day, but after this went on and on and on, he said to himself, "I care nothing what God thinks, and I even don't even like what people think." What kind of king are you then? But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something to see that she gets justice quick. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding. Then the master said, "Did you hear what the judge, as corrupt as he was, is saying? So what makes you think that God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people, who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He is not dragging his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on earth when he returns?" Man, persistent prayers. You know, the Bible says that he'll answer quickly, but quickly isn't always in the timing that we think. Quickly really just means suddenly. You could be praying the same prayer for 5 years, and as you pray it for 5 years, boom, suddenly there it is. It's done. But you prayed for 5 years. So we sometimes think quickly means that I prayed it, I should have got it. I mean, think about it. When you're going through the Dutch brother line and you have to wait very long, you get a little frustrated. This is Dutch. Things should move along here. This is Starbucks. Come on, get going, barista. Get my stuff. What? Some person doesn't know how to order, and they weren't prepared and didn't have their stuff. Ray, you go to Jack in the Box. "I want my 2 tacos now. Come on, hurry up. No sauce. I want my tacos now." We have this instant society. You can go to Walmart now. If you spend more than $30, you can order online, go to the back of the store, and they'll put it in your car for you. Thank you, Jesus. You don't even have to fight the store anymore. So we have this society that just hands you everything at once, and as a result of it, we tend to think that God should operate the same way. And when he doesn't, we get a little pestered at him. But sometimes his timing isn't our timing, and you may pray about something because you're going to be persistent. You're going to ask, you're going to seek, you're going to knock, you're going to keep doing it. You're going to pester and bug God, and it may be 5 years later that suddenly, quickly, you got an answer. Story after story in the Bible is where injustice took place and his people waited on God. Some of them waited for years. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was worked into Potiphar's house, and then she, his wife, tried to, you know, do the hokey pokey with him. And he said, I ain't doing that. And she said he'd tried, and they threw him in prison. He was in prison at the license plate division making license plates for years. And we don't read where he grumbled and complained, but God meant, and God used those things to set him up, to put him in a place to save a nation. So will you bellyache about what goes on in your life? You never know what God may be setting you up for the future. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll lead you straight. It doesn't say, well, you're not getting things the way you want. Grumble and complain a bit. Get a little frustrated, God. Tell people how nauseated you are. To wind all your friends, and then while you are, say, God, come on, God. It doesn't say that. Says, be persistent with faith, bug God, ask God, come to God. And then the rest of the motif from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible is where we lean into him and we trust him despite the circumstance. And we know that God will make a way. We just need to be persistent in our faith and trust him. So as we look at this story, let's get a little practical here. But even before I do that, let me say this to you. Sometimes as we go to God, boy, we don't see how he's going to answer. We just have no clue how he's going to answer. But we got to go to him. Pray and say, God, here it is. There was one day we had gone to the Lancaster Mall. My boys were little. And as we went to the mall, my wife said, I'm going to stop at the pet store. And I said, well, no, don't stop at the pet store. See, I'm a dad. I got two little boys that both should have been wearing dresses at the time. They're like little girls. They just love animals. They love things. Oh, look at how pretty that one is. That's a pretty puppy. Oh, that's a pretty. That's a pretty dog. The pretty dog. And you're going to take those two little suckers into a pet store? Take little kids into pet store. You set them up for a broken heart as it is. I want a goldfish. I want a turtle. Can I have a cat? Never get a cat. What are cats good for? They can't fetch, and they have attitude, and they can't get a paper, and they poop and pee in a box, and it stinks, and they don't roll over when you ask them, and when they get mad at you, they pee on your bed. Why would you get a cat? Some of you are cat lovers. Praise God for you. Now, a dog, on the other hand, master's best friend, they'll fetch, they'll get, they'll do, they'll look at you longingly, they'll lick your face, and they'll love you no matter what. Whatever you do, don't take little kids to a pet store, because when you're going to break their heart when you say, we ain't buying anything, and you know you're going into the pet store, and you're broke, don't go. Okay? Do not go into a pet store if you're broke with little kids. Because you're going to have to say, we can't buy it, sorry. And when you take them into the pet store, the people in the pet store, their object is to get the thing out of the cage, put you in the little corral area, and let the kids touch them. And then when the kids touch them, the kids go, oh, look at this dog. This is a nice dog. And then you go, got to put the dog back. Time to go. No, that's our dog now. We've already named him. His name's Sparky. Look at him. He's such a sweet... He named him. He's already sitting in my lap. Look at the way he turns his head. Come on. So my wife took him into the pet store, and it just is, it all went that way. As we're pulling the kids out of the pet store, and they're screaming, yelling, crying, Josiah looks at me and says, Dad, God said I could have that dog. Thinking, you turkey, you pull that church stuff on me. God said. Okay, get a life, dude. I don't have any money. Dad, it's a little pink dog, but it's a little dog with a little pink nose, with little hair. It's a little, just beautiful Bichon dog. Dad, I just want, it's a gorgeous $550. No, we don't even have two nickels to rub together. We're not getting it. So we leave, and as we're walking out of the mall, he literally walking out of that food court area out there, past that agave cigar and wine, and as we walk, "Dad, you need to know God said I could have that dog." "Well, that's great, son. Let's go home." We get home, and for the next week, late at night, "Oh, Jesus, give me the little white dog with the little pink nose in the name of Jesus." And he had that little vibrato in his voice. A month later, he's still praying for the little white dog with the little pink nose, and he's still telling me God said he could have it. Now, I got to admit, sometimes I'm stupid. Hey, I am, okay? My boys are here tonight, and I do not need to hear any of you say amen. There are some times that I can be just miss it. And he said, God told me I could have that dog. And so I took him back to the pet store, and I showed him that wasn't trying to be mean. I was just trying to show him the cage is empty. It's gone. You can't have the dog. As we're walking out again, over a month later, he said, "Dad, that's okay that the cage is empty. God told me I could have that dog." I'm going, "There's just no way. Son, it's gone." After about 5.5, 6 months of still him telling me God told him he could have that dog, my wife thinks we better find a replacement dog, and now she has saved enough money that we could probably go buy a replacement dog to replace the dog that God said he could have that we didn't get, that we didn't have, and we didn't know. Okay, we need to find another dog. So she began the hunt to find a Bichon that was white. She knew she'd never replace the dog with the pink nose because that was a birth defect, and had the chance of that happening are 1 in 1,000,000. So now, almost 9 months later, we get a call from somebody saying, "We hear you're looking for a dog. We have a dog we'd like to sell you." The lady goes on and tells my wife about this dog that she'd like to sell us, how it is an ugly dog, how it got in the cat food and got a rash, and as a result of the rash, it turned into more like boils, and it turned into like all over its body, and it looked like the dog had leprosy and a leg would fall off at any moment. But she would like to sell us this dog. And by the way, the dog got so sick from this and needed to be able to heal and needed to rub stuff on its body that she shaved the sucker. So now she's got an ugly dog that she wants to sell us. We're not takers. So when my wife told me about that, I said, "Well, no, we're not taking the dog with leprosy. Ain't happening." And so we passed. A couple of days later, the lady calls us back and said, I can't get over this, but each night as I pray, God tells me that I'm supposed to give you this dog. Could you come get it?" Now, my wife freaks out when there's anything free. It's like, "Free! Let's go get it!" You know, I've had to delete apps on her phone because it's free, you know. We would be hoarders at our home if I let her get the free. "There's something on the side of the road! Let's stop! It's free!" No, what? There's a reason why they're giving it away free. Stop. So she thinks we need to go check this out. So I, okay, reluctantly, we're going to go look at a dog with leprosy that's being given for free that's been shaved. Fun way to spend my afternoon. We show up, and it's this little dog. It's pink as can be, and it's the most ugly thing I'd ever seen. And as we walked in, I thought, "It's got leprosy. Don't touch it, boys. We're not doing this." And I stood there thinking, "We are not doing this." My wife begins to have a conversation with this lady. "How long have you had the dog?" "We had the dog about 9 months." "Where did you get the dog?" "Here in Salem." "Did you get it through a family, or where did you get it?" "No, I got it at the Lancaster Mall." "Really? What kind of dog is it?" "It's a Bichon. It's the only one that they had, and it's the only one that they've had in the last few years. And it was a little bit unique because it had a birth defect. It has a little pink nose." I looked at that dog, and I said, "It does have a pink nose." "That's that same dog. Now God's given us a dog with leprosy?" What kind of cruel trick is that? As we looked at it more and began to look at the papers and everything, it was the same exact dog. That dog healed up real fine, grew all of its hair back, became the greatest gift Mike Boyd could ever have. I got to be honest with you. I blew it. I didn't hear God. I thought, you need to look at reality here. Reality is, this is the situation and it's at. The dog's, we don't have the money and the dog's gone and there's no way. God told you you could have, no, you need to understand that. No, that doesn't, and I was an evangelist guy, pastor who traveled and did all kinds, man of faith who had no faith. And this little kid heard God. And he heard God say to him, you can have that dog. And God gave it to him. You see, sometimes we discount God and we write God off because things don't look the way that we think they should look. So as a result of it, I can't trust him. Mary and Martha felt that way. Jesus, would you please come? Our brother is sick and he's your best friend. He's sick. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus shows up and they're mad at him. Jesus, you should have been here. He's already been dead 4 days and he's in a grave. Jesus, you missed it. And Jesus stopped and said, Mary and Martha, you already know me as the healer. You already know me as the best friend. You already know me as this, but you don't know me in the way you're going to know me now. Where's he laid? And he walked out to that cemetery, said, roll the stone back. And he said, in the name of Jesus, heaven and earth, God, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. All of a sudden, now Mary and Martha knew God in a whole new way. Can I ask you, what is God trying to teach you? How is he trying to introduce himself to you in a new way? Would you be persistent? Would you ask? Would you seek? Would you knock? Would you begin to call on him? Would you bug God? Would you stand on his porch and say, God, I need your help? I don't care how bleak it looks. I don't care how bleak and how awkward and how far-fetched. You know what? Cancer is not a big deal to God. He can change it. Alzheimer's, he has the ability to bring back memory to people. At the same time, he has the ability to let people pass on. But God's a big God. Would you go to him? Would you trust in the Lord with all of your heart? Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Would you bug the daylights out of God and say, God, here I am. That's why I think the Bible says this, and Pastor Anthony's going to come in a moment, but that's why I think the Bible says we need to have childlike faith. Because most of us, we get too hard and too stuck. By the time you pass through junior high, you become really cynical. You do. I can go onto a middle school campus and I can take 15 pizzas on a middle school campus and I'll get mauled before I even walk through the door. They don't care who I am. 15 pizzas? I mean, they'll strip off every piece of clothes I have trying to steal the pizzas from me. I walk onto a high school campus with 15 pizzas, and people look at me like, who's the weirdo with 15 pizzas? Wow, I wonder what he's laced them with. Don't eat those. Some weird guy is bringing all those with a bunch of bling blingy. What's wrong with that guy? See, by the time we hit high school and into college and into adulthood, we get kind of cynical. And we might ask God once, maybe twice. And then we give up. And then we push him away. But today I urge you, take a second look at Jesus. Say, here I am. If you have a situation in your life that seems like it's too big, like it's impossible. Yeah, those are the ones he excels at. May not be your time. I thought Josiah meant God said I could have that dog right then. But what he meant was God had already answered him and said, that dog's yours. 9 months later, he had that dog. How much do we miss out on God because we stop short of the miracle that he wants to provide? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're here for us, that you know each one of us. And all we have to do is call on you. That God, that there's nothing impossible with you, but all things are possible with you. And no matter where we're at in life, you have our best interest at hand. Some people in this room can't see that because their dad, their family, their mom, the people around them never had their best interest at hand. Some of us feel like the world just pooped on us big time. And we're just struggling. We wonder where you've been. But God, we come to you today. We just renew our faith and we say, God, I need you. And I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to ask. I'm going to seek. I'm going to knock. I'm going to just keep coming to you. Here I am. Folks, as Pastor Anthony comes, let me say this to you. Let me throw this out. Is if you go to God and you ask and you seek and you knock from him, as you're persistent with him and say, here I am, sometimes he'll say yes, sometimes he'll say no, and sometimes it'll be a while before he answers. And when it's a while before he answers, you just keep going.